Hi, it's Dave here. This is my wife, Kathy.
Hello.
And this is The Cinemile, the podcast where we walk home from the movies. We're going to do something a little different today. So this isn't our usual episode format where we walk to the cinema and then walk back from the cinema. We are instead going to do a quick roundup of all the movies we saw at the Cork International Film Festival, which just finished up.
A lot of people have been asking us in particular about what we thought about All of Us Strangers, because we had put it up on our Instagram that we were going. So what we're going to do is we'll chat through everything we saw at the festival.
Spoiler free.
And then at some point we'll do like a deep dive, proper review on All of Us Strangers and a couple of the others. But we just wanted to give top line thoughts now, because it's fun to just chat through what we saw, what we liked, what we recommend.
That's right. So things we're going to talk about are Poor Things, the new Yorgos Lanthimos movie, Brave the Dark, writer-director Damien Harris, that's the brother of Jared Harris, who's also in it. We're going to speak about some short family films we saw, and Belgium French animated film, which was the family gala, called Sirocco and the Kingdom of the Winds. We're going to talk about All of Us Strangers and the new Finnish film by director Aki Kaurismäki, which is Fallen Leaves. So that's what you're going to hear here. But before we do that, we'd like to say a big thank you to all of our listeners for the past 7 years, or whether you're old or new, or however long you've been here, because we just won an award last week at the Irish Podcast Awards. We were named Best Arts and Culture Podcast, which we are delighted and thrilled about. But we just want to really just wish a big thank you to all of you guys for listening to this, which is now officially an arts and culture
podcast. Yeah, we never consider that.
We're very cultural.
We just consider ourselves a movie podcast. But movies are art.
Now we are talking.
The movies we cover. This episode is probably the art.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Episode of
this
the year.
This looks like a reaction to that. It looks like, oh, we're supposed to be doing arts and culture. Let's go to a film festival and talk about Finnish films.
It's not. The film festival has been on for 3 weeks. I'm on the board of the directors of Cork Film Festival, which is a voluntary position, and I love it. And I love Cork Film Festival. It's an amazing festival. It actually ran over 3 weeks this year, which is, I think, one of the longest film festivals. Usually they go over 2 weeks. There's lots of operational reasons it went over 3 weeks this year, but it was actually wonderful for us as people who attend the festival. So we got to see loads of stuff. We loved it. It's an amazing, it's one of the oldest film festivals in the world. It's in its 68th year. And it's quite incredible, and run out of Cork, so we're very proud of it.
Yeah, it was a great few weeks. We are very proud of it.
And our kids love going as well, because the kids' films we watched were in like the Everyman Theatre, which is a beautiful old theatre in Cork. So it's kind of special instead of just going to your average cinema, you know?
So let's kick it off. We were at the opening gala in the Cork Opera House. We saw Poor Things, the new Yorgos Lanthimos movie, the director of Dogtooth, The Favourite, Killing
Lobster.
Of a Sacred Deer, The Lobster. So I actually am a big fan of him.
Same.
But then I realised I've only actually seen The Lobster from all his work. So I've got a lot to do.
You
well, I've now
seen
Four
favorite.
Things as well. No, you saw it without me, and you can scroll back in this podcast feed to find Kathy's review of The Favourite.
Oh, I went with our friend Nick, of course. Yeah, you didn't come. I loved The Favourite.
So
Emma Stone is in that as well as this.
That's right. And a lot of the same crew from The Favourite, I think, worked on this. So the director of photography and two of the producers were on stage to present the film. I thought this was incredibly good.
It's
amazing. One of my favourite films of the year. It is just weird and wacky and wonderful. It's based on a novel from 1992, which Yorgos Lanthimos was a huge fan of and has been wanting to make for a while. What's it about? I actually would recommend just going in completely cold, like I did, because the discovery of kind of what this film is.
We didn't know what we were going to see.
Yeah, it's just wonderful in itself, because it is unlike anything you'll ever see.
It's incredibly unusual.
It's visually, so unusual.
Stunning. And the director of photography, Robbie Ryan, was there and spoke, and he's Irish, as were a couple of the producers, which is very cool. But I think as a film to be the director of photography on, it's a goodie, because it's amazing looking, and they shot a load of very cool scenes, and they shot them in front of like LED screens, not green screen, and it just looks wonderful. It is really weird. Like, people behind us got up and left during this film as a warning. And we're going to do a full review on this that we'll post on the feed when the film's at. We're going to post it when the film comes out because there's no point in doing it now because people haven't seen it yet.
I suspect those people left because of the explicit sexual content in this movie. It has really like explicit sex scenes.
The sex stuff's out there, but a lot of the other stuff's out there as well. Like, so.
Well, I remember when we saw The Lobster, you and I, years ago, in the cinema. We both got up and said, wow, how good was that? That was just, it hit our vibe perfectly. And then I remember the people behind us overhearing them saying, that was one of the worst films I've ever seen. So clearly that's the vibe Yorgos Lanthimos creates, which I like. I mean, I think polarizing films are always more interesting.
With the beginning of this film though, for like the first 5 minutes, I was worried. I was like, oh, this is too weird for me.
Yes.
Like, it was very weird, but then I got into it and I was able to follow it. So give yourself a couple of minutes.
And I would also say, I think that kind of description can be very off-putting for a movie. This isn't weird and wacky in an arty kind of pretentious kind of way. Like, I personally can't get on with David Lynch. I know he's incredibly popular and revered, but most of his stuff is just so out there and arty for me. I can't get on board with it. I found Poor Things, and I think in general Yorgos Lanthimos' style, to be very accessible.
Yeah.
And it's laugh out loud funny.
If you don't get the sense of humor though, like, our audience was all laughing, and it also was an Irish audience who like tend to have a good sense of humor, but if the audience wasn't laughing and you took it the wrong way, it could tank in a screening.
Yeah, yeah,
but our audience was all laughing. Right, on to the
but
next.
I highly recommend
highly
it.
Highly recommend.
Like,
yeah.
if you're not into it after half an hour, I'd say just turn it off. but give it that much.
No, I think you should watch the whole thing because it gets more and more visually cool.
Oh my god, it's so interesting.
Emma Stone, like, I've always known she was a good actress, but she's phenomenal.
Oh, I mean, look, she's got a lot to do.
Is it?
But it's a huge range of a role here. It's,
Mark Ruffalo kind of brought the house down. He's so funny in it.
Yeah. He is hilarious.
Right.
And Willem Dafoe is in here.
We can't just talk about
it's
this
so
movie.
Good.
We're
anyway,
around
anyway, we will do that later. Right, so you saw, I didn't go to this, but you saw Brave the Dark, the true story of a teenager who was kind of, quote unquote, rescued by, or he claims is a salvation, at the hands of an English teacher he had, played by Jared Harris, the teenager played by Australian Nicholas Hamilton. This is a movie based on the true life story of that self-written, self-published by the protagonist, and this is by writer-director Damien Harris.
And this was, I felt so bad, I went to this when Dave didn't come for babysitting reasons, and actually all the Harris brothers were there, including Jared Harris, who's like Dave's idol.
Yeah, and I just finished watching Foundation season 2, so I was just like, I was on a real Jared Harris buzz.
You should have
buzz.
Been there, but I was there. And so
he's so
wonderful.
Talented.
So it was the international premiere of it, so they've, because Cork Film Festival only premieres movies, so they don't take movies that aren't an Irish premiere. And then this actually was the international premiere, so it's played in the States and a few festivals, but hadn't played anywhere else. And it was so cool because it aired like a couple of days after the actor strike ended. So they got up on stage and they were like, we've been at festivals, but we've not been able to speak about it, the actors. So they got to talk about it. So there was such a good buzz. And their dad like loves Cork.
Richard Harris.
So they've got like a real connection with the city. And like they donated his archive to like the university in Cork and stuff like that a couple of months ago. So they like love Cork.
They also they released a documentary about their father
as
well, right?
That was at the Cork Film Festival last year that premiered. So anyway, but the film is, I really liked the film. It's like quite emotional. It's kind of a biopic. Which, as you can imagine, tends to be harrowing, usually because of the subject matter. The guy who is the main character in this actually was there, and he originally wrote the script like 10 years ago, and then Damien Harris got involved, really wanted to make it, and they spoke about it on stage afterwards. The guy who it's about said he had written it, as most people would, in like a completely linear fashion, and then Damien Harris came along and kind of helped him. They worked on it together to actually fix it into like more of a script and how it will be told. So he's an incredible guy, and he had this incredible English teacher who supported him. Not Dangerous Mind style. And
he didn't sit in a chair backwards.
No, played by Jared Harris, who's wonderful. And so the film is a bit traumatic, but it actually deals with like really kind of amazing subject when you think about it, of like there's so many kids out there who are lost, and like if one, you know, the impact one wonderful person can have on a kid's life. And I think that was the message to take away from it. And Jared Harris played the teacher so wonderfully, who's since passed away. And so it's very much like, you know, supporting people, and specifically supporting people who've worked, who've experienced trauma. So there's a foundation now kind of supporting kids who've suffered trauma, and the guy who the movie's based on works for them. So it's a lovely story, and I was really happy to see it in the cinema, and like there wasn't a dry eye in the house, I'll say. So it's an emotional film, but I really enjoyed it, and I thought the Aussie actor who played him was brilliant as well. And also it's set in the 80s, which is always, I think, very nice.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. All right, another thing we went to in the Everyman Theatre was the Family Shorts showing. So there was an hour and a half of animated shorts for all ages, which we brought our two boys to. And there were some really good ones in
here.
Yeah,
really good.
Now, we're not going to go through them all, but I'd like to call out a couple of them. I think the one that Kathy and I both enjoyed the most was one called Starling. By Mitra Shahidi, which
you see,
is
wherever you, if you can find it, and we'll write the name in the show notes. Go and watch it if you can find it somewhere. It's
yeah,
so
often
beautiful.
Often these can be available, are made available on YouTube. Often they aren't because they're still in the festival circuit, mm-hmm. and they won't become available till later. But Starling is so beautiful. It's the story of a. It's quite harrowing. Parents who have lost their child, and all of this told, you know, like in some of the best animation with no dialogue,
and in a way that like younger kids didn't understand that text and just liked how it looked.
Yeah, the kids didn't understand that these were grieving parents, but they were at a birthday. They're celebrating the birthday of their lost daughter, and then a star falls from the sky and is trying to reach them upon their wish that they've made. And I won't spoil how it ends, but it's this just really heartbreaking and cute and beautiful little
yeah.
journey that really struck me and Kathy.
It was funny because when that one ended, and it's only a couple of minutes long, every adult in the audience is crying, and the kids are just like, ha ha, that's
like,
a cute.
Ha ha, what's next? and one thing which also stood out to us, and I think our boys enjoyed as well, was a short 4-minute one called Cat, which was a German one by Julia Ocker, and it's just about a cat making mouse soup, and
so cute.
The cat is following the recipe for mouse soup, and is, you know, chopping in the vegetables, and then, you know, you see her preparing the mice, but she's kind of playing with the mice, and the mice are helping her with the recipe, and she gets to the point where she's about to realizes in the recipe that mouse soup contains the mice, and she kind of gets horrified at the idea of putting these mice
yeah,
in all of a sudden.
So cute.
And as vegetarians, that kind of really appealed to us as well.
And then the biggest one from the kids' short, the kind of biggest billing, was the Bono, Peter and the Wolf.
Yeah, so there's a short by Stephen McNally and Elliot Deer called Peter and the Wolf, which is based on illustrations that Bono did. And Bono kind of shows up in the beginning of it and is drawing in a weird...
See, I
void.
Love that. So Bono
draws, the animation.
And then it becomes the animation. Dave thought it was too much. I thought it was enough.
I thought it was a bit lame.
If you have Bono, one of the biggest stars in the world, like, you have to put him in it. Though it's funny because Ask is like, who's he?
Yeah,
he
exactly.
In it?
I like
the animation. He's a good drawer.
This one seems to be the one that struck stuck with our kids the most, which is surprising. Or stuck with our eldest,
especially because the longest one though, when it was the last one, so that could be something.
I guess
to do
it was
with
a bit more meaty. I mean, I found it a bit slow going, but I really got into it towards the end. And the animation is very interesting. It's a bit sort of gloomy and dark. Yeah. But it's well done. So yeah, so there's a range of ones, really interesting stuff there that
but
we saw.
Shorts are great to bring kids to as well, because there's loads to capture their imagination, and some kids have really short attention spans. So
yeah, and it's only a 70-minute.
Yeah, and if you have any film festival near you where you live, and there is like a kids' shorts, just I totally recommend it for kids of any age. Like, really can work on kids very young.
But we also took them to the feature family gala, which was. This year was Sirocco and the Kingdom of the Winds, a sort of Belgian French movie by director Benoit Chu.
I love listening to you butcher the director's name.
I'm trying here.
Our kids are obsessed with this film.
Yeah, they absolutely enthralled them. And I thought this was really interesting. It's an animated film. It's got very, I would say, sort of Studio Ghibli-esque vibes to it in terms of the animation style, but also in the way it presents a sort of wonderful you know, unusual alternate world that two sisters end up sort of stumbling into, and it's a world that, you know, has been created by their aunt in a novel.
It's kind of nominally they mention like a Alice in Wonderland link, but I think other than falling into a new world, I don't really particularly see an Alice in Wonderland link.
No,
it was beautiful. What really captured our kids, I think, is the main character Sirocco, the quote unquote bad guy, because he's just got a really cool aesthetic.
Yeah.
And they, when we came home, and they never do this, they wanted to like draw. They were trying to draw the film. Now, I'm sorry to say they're not particularly good artists. And,
nor are we.
Nor are we.
And I, we had to go as well.
Despite being an arts and culture podcast. but I've never seen them come home and try and draw a film before, so that just shows how much the animation caught their attention.
Yeah.
Caught my... Do you know, I thought the animation was beautiful. So,
and the story was interesting. There's this really sort of... there's a heartbreaking plot in it involving... another character who won't reveal, but this I just googled it. There's a page for this on Mubi. Now the movie doesn't appear to be available there yet.
But
I'm just showing the trailer.
But it's won a couple of awards, I think. So it's a great anime. Anyway, if you see it, Sirocco and the Kingdom of the Wind on a platform,
add it to your Mubi playlist or seek it out. It's really good, accessible stuff for all the family. Right, we've got two left. We're going to talk about All of Us Strangers and Fallen Leaves. But before we do, we're going to take a very quick break. Right, we're back. But before we do our last two reviews, I'd just like to shout out some of our patrons over at our Patreon, patreon.com/thecinemile, the Cinemile High Club. So we've got some new patrons recently, and I would like to shout out Arjit Nag, Fintan Geraghty, Calvin Silvera, Andrew, Kevin Matthews, Alexis, and Richard Deans. Thank you all for joining for the price of €3 or €4 a month, or whatever currency they paid in. Looks like somebody's in Norway, maybe? What's a knock?
I have no idea.
Somebody's paying 3 knocks per month. So for only 3 knocks per month, you could have access to all of our TV and retro movie reviews. So we're currently doing weekly recaps of For All Mankind. We usually do a monthly spoiler dive on a show we've been watching, and or we just do a roundup of loads of TV shows we're watching.
Like this, we do this every month, but about TV. And Dave's just finished Loki, so we'll be talking about...
Yeah, we're going to be talking about Loki season 2, amongst other things. And also, we do a monthly retro film, which our patrons vote on. And this month, we are doing... movies based on TV shows, and the winner was The Fugitive. So we're going to watch that tonight, and that will be up there.
And thank you, patrons, for joining, and your support is always hugely appreciated. And I hope you all availed of the 7-day free trial before you started paying, because that's a brilliant feature on Patreon.
Yes, and of course, the other benefit to joining, now that we are the best arts and culture podcast in Ireland, is that you can become a patron of the arts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. And then you can put that on your CV.
Exactly. Alright, so All of Us Strangers, I think it's easy to say this is the most hyped film at the festival, right?
It was like waiting lists. People were like messaging me and Dave.
There was like 100 people on the waiting list,
asking for tickets. And we're like, we can't get you tickets. We bought our tickets. The day they came out, I bought our tickets, because I was like, this, everyone is obsessed with Paul Mescal, obviously, and then everyone is obsessed with the hot priest from Fleabag, aka Andrew Scott.
And they are in this together.
Albeit Andrew Scott's the star, actually. And this is a film I don't want to spoil anything about, because it's got a really weird plot. It's the director-writer. Actually,
Andrew Haig made
Looking, the TV show, which some of you might have watched, which is a HBO show that we loved, about a group of gay friends in San Francisco and kind of navigating their life. So we were big fans of Looking, so we were super excited with him, and these actors did not disappoint.
Yeah, this is a beautiful film.
I cried
film.
For at least half of the
Oh my
film.
God, it's absolutely heartbreaking. And I don't really want to speak too much to what
Me
it's
neither.
About either.
It's not. It's out in America in December, and then it's out in UK and Ireland in January, so we probably won't post our review till January, because most of our listeners are in the UK and Ireland.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's out in a while, so
just seek it out.
Seek it out when you can see it.
It's honestly, all the actors are good. They're also in this is Jamie Bell and Claire Foy, who are also
brilliant.
But they're more in a supporting capacity. This is Andrew Scott's film. It's a
I feel bad
heartbreaking
for him, because like, what a year to be up as an Irishman for a potential Best Oscar nomination, because Best Actor. It's Cillian Murphy's year for Oppenheimer.
Oh, surely he'll
like
get it.
Like any other year. But I'm already thrilled and obsessed with the prospect of Andrew Scott and Cillian Murphy like on the circuit together.
I think he deserves
he's
a nomination
amazing.
For this. He's so a standout. Good. I mean, Paul Mescal is also great, as always.
Paul Mescal's just like, his presence is ridiculous, right, in a film. Like, I just think he just leaps off the screen. I mean, Andrew Scott, though, we'd only ever seen in a supporting role. Fleabag. Well, I had anyway. So
there is also, I think, a lot
really
of the hype is
film.
Around. If you want to see Paul Mescal and Andrew Scott in a very steamy sex scene,
yeah. Oh, that, you will get what you're
you'll get that
for.
In
yeah,
this
yeah.
as well.
Oh, you
much like
it.
Poor Things, this didn't hold back.
Yeah. No, Poor Things had a lot more than this, I'd say. But this is, I think, it's lived up to all the hype and beyond, actually. And I actually can't wait to talk about it properly. But we won't do that here, other than to say
it's a story about loneliness and loss and heartbreak, which kind of sounds very tough to take. But I think it's handled really delicately and beautifully.
We're sitting in the cinema watching it, or in the theater, actually, in the Everyman Theater, and like in a sold out screening, and I was just like, God, this is such a brilliant film. I wish film festivals just ran all year, because the amount of like the quality of the films we were watching, and then you kind of drag out of it in the same week we might go and see other regular films in the cinema, and you're like, oh
yeah, like we saw the Marvels
like
and
right before
this, which
we
I mean we liked. I mean, yeah, we kind of liked the
I
Marvels.
I know, but it's so
but it is
such
just
a come down to go from like it was such a
yeah. It's like, whoa, this is like real cinema here.
Yeah. Anyway, it's wonderful. We won't say any more about it, but set your diaries and go and watch it when it comes out.
Yeah, yeah, highly recommend. Now, last one we saw was Fallen Leaves by writer-director Aki Kaurismäki.
By the way, it sounds like we saw loads of stuff. We didn't even scratch the surface.
No.
So
this
many
is,
films that
what's
we
What's that?
To
we
see.
Saw like seven things and there
I,
was...
I wanted to take days off work and just go and watch everything, but like it's really hard to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the Taika Waititi movie was here,
yeah,
Next Goal
anyway,
Wins, but we missed it.
We missed, but anyway, regardless, we supported the festival loads, and everyone should support film festivals wherever you live, because they're really hard to put on and people put so much work into them. And
yeah,
like
and
they
well
come
done,
and go, right?
Well done to all the team as well for
they're
for doing this,
because
it's an incredible amount of work.
It's an incredible amount of work. But on to Fallen Leaves, the last film we watched. Billed as a comedy.
Yeah.
We learned retrospectively that this director is a little bit like, according to my Finnish friend who I spoke to about it, kind of the way like Shakespearean stuff might be called drama or tragedy. Sorry, tragedy or comedy. But it doesn't necessarily mean the comedies are funny. It just means they're not tragedies. That's also what Fallen Leaves is. And if you understand this director, he's got like 20 films. He's got a real particular style, apparently. This is the first time we've watched him. So we kind of went in thinking we're getting a comedy. I was able to quickly shift and be like, fine, I'm not at a comedy, but I still really enjoyed the film. It's about... I think it's in his proletariat
I feel like
series.
You're accusing me of
I'm
not doing that.
You,
that's what that gap felt like.
Apparently it's in his proletariat series, and he makes films very much... In this vein that this looked like it was actually set decades ago, even though it's set now. It's following two people.
Which
of
is really
like,
interesting.
Really?
So like every, it looks like everyone's wearing 70s fashion.
It looks
the
like,
decor is all very 70s, but it's.
But they're talking about Zelensky
talking
on the radio.
About the Ukraine war, yeah.
And then it's two characters who are like extremely poor, following them, and really just following their lives. So I embraced it and I really enjoyed it, but I can also see how to an audience like us who doesn't know the director and doesn't really know what you're going to watch, you know, when you go to, because it had received like acclaim at Cannes, which is what drew us to go in to watch it, and the dog won the Palme d'Or category in Cannes. So it's definitely
well deserved,
the dog.
Actually
great
for that
dog.
Dog
apparently
it was a good
it's
dog.
Like the director's dog.
Oh really?
So I actually really enjoyed it, albeit I did come out of it slightly perturbed, like, what was that film about? But I really enjoyed it, and I loved the leading actress, thought she was wonderful. She's Swedish, but Finnish.
Yeah, I didn't get on with this movie. I think both actors were great. This is, it's a sort of a love story set to a very, really sort of two single people in middle age living on the breadline. It's quite harrowing in that regard.
It nearly felt like it was set in like the Soviet Union or something.
Oh, it's real austere kind of stuff. And I mean, and I found all that stuff just like really chilling. It's not like a Ken Loach film in that regard, and it's kind of just not really. That's just background, and it's really about these two people kind of finding love.
And I kept waiting for like the jokes to come in. The jokes are coming.
Yeah, it's not.
As it went on and on, I was like, are the jokes coming?
So like I didn't get this. I didn't get it. Okay, and I think there's a lot I really admire about it. I think I love, as we said, that aesthetic is really interesting and particular. I think all of the characters in this movie just speak in very monotone, expressionless ways to each other. They kind of perform this perfunctory dialogue, and there's lots of awkward silences, and that's how people kind of converse. And that feels very, it feels very much like a stylistic choice, which I respect. He adds a, you know, they go to the cinema at one point and they watch that Jim Jarmusch film about the zombies. And this is, that's clearly very also deliberate, because he's got a very similar style to him where the characters don't speak like people, you know, they just kind of, it's like the writer just kind of performing stuff. That's cool as a style, but for me, I just found it, I couldn't connect with any of these people I wanted to.
See, this is where I had a different experience, because I really connected, particularly with the lead actress, but also the lead male, because I was like, these are just two characters who don't speak a lot, and I actually love their silent interactions, and I found it quite romantic. And I think one of the things the film, there was a couple of times where I did laugh out loud, but I noted you didn't. So I think it was really a sensibility thing. And a couple of people in the audience did laugh at a couple of jokes as well. So
yeah, the audience was vibing with this much more than me.
Yeah.
And look, comedy is subjective. I didn't find anything to be funny. I didn't understand what was meant to be funny when people were laughing. I mean, I guess this is, maybe I was at the, I got to experience what maybe some of the audience felt at Poor Things, being in the minority. I was just like, I don't understand why everyone is laughing.
Like, this is not a comedy.
Like a guy, an alcoholic, takes a big drink and everyone started laughing.
But it was the way the film set it up, though.
I'm like, this is sad, right?
But it was the way the film set it up. I'm really glad we saw it, because he's such a famous director and us plebs had never heard of him.
Yeah.
I guess it's now that we're Best Arts and Culture podcast, this is the kind of stuff we'll be reviewing going forward.
Oh, is it? No. Take me back to the Marvels. No, Kathy's genuinely being facetious. We're still going to the multiplex mainstream stuff.
Oh, we're lowbrow.
We are lowbrow. That's where we're staying.
We will smash the course.
Yeah. We'll give you all the arty indie stuff in one sitting.
Yeah.
And then back to whatever schlock is being peddled at us. Because we know that's what you guys want to hear.
But anyway, I'm so excited, because this year I made a Finnish friend called Sarah. We watched Sisu. And now we've seen Fallen Leaves. So I now consider myself the eminent film critic of
Finland.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we are also, this is a fun fact, we are also, for a period this year, we were the number one film podcast in Angola.
That was wild. We were in Finland as well.
Oh, we were in Finland.
We were in Finland for like a week. I think it might be because I made a friend Sarah and she recommended it to Finnish people.
Not anymore, now that they find out that I didn't like Fallen Leaves.
Well, apparently his stuff doesn't always translate abroad. But he has received lots of acclaim at Cannes. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening. We hope you enjoyed this roundup, because we know everyone's favourite podcaster when we do our end of year roundup, so we thought we'd do one a bit earlier just on the film festival, and just to shout out the amazing team at the film festival. Fiona, the CEO, Deirdre's head of marketing, Anna is an amazing programmer, and there's just a whole huge heap of them who work on it, so congratulations to all of them. And I can't wait to go again next year.
Yes, and if you missed anything we said, I'll put the names of all those films we watched in the synopsis for this episode.
And basically, just get ready for All the Strangers and Poor Things, because they're the ones you're all going to
see. Those are two incredible movies. Please go out and seek them. And thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye.